Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Writers and Fighters, a podcast. I'm your host, AJ Ortega, and every week on the show, I bring you an interview with somebody in the writing world or somebody in the fighting world. This is episode 40, and I got somebody from the fight world on. I got a YouTuber, a content creator, somebody that I admire, Angel David Castro. He's a YouTuber and has a channel called El Pugilato, where he focuses on boxing, MMA, and it's done in Spanish. And so there's not a whole lot of content out there like that in the fight world, at least that I've seen, and me and Angel talk about that. And we go on to talk about his Puerto Rican heritage, the rivalry between Mexican boxers and Puerto Rican boxers. We go deep into Tito Trinidad, Amanda Serrano, and others. We talk about the current state of the sport and more. And you know, before this interview starts, I'm behind on the Latino Heritage Month uploads, of which this is part, because like I'm a proud Mexican, Angel is a proud Puerto Rican, and so we see the value of culture in boxing and in our lives. And so in that way, I've always admired him. And so I did want to say I have three interviews that I'm going to release before the end of Latino Heritage Month. I appreciate you guys being patient. This goes into my next point. It is also, at the time of this recording, Mental Health Awareness Day, or maybe the start of Mental Health Awareness Week. I know they do all sorts of stuff like this. You've probably seen it on social media. And that's actually why I'm behind on the uploads. And the reason I want to share this little story is because something really interesting happened to me and something positive. So I was a little bit down and struggling with things personally and professionally and so on. And I reached out to my people. I struggle with my mental health stuff. It's come up a little bit on the podcast here and there. Been lucky enough to have cool, trusting people on the other side of the interview that, you know, make me comfortable to say so. And say so not just to the person I'm talking to, but to the listening audience. I ain't got anything to hide, right? And so I'm down, I'm struggling, and then I reach out to some of my folks, you know, my people, friends and family, like I do, which is a smart move. And somebody reached out to me, and somebody I wasn't expecting. People will reach out to me. People will notice something's up and give me a call, shoot me a text, these kinds of things. But I was a little bit surprised at who reached out to me. Who was it? It was Angel, who I interviewed today. And we're not like tight that way. I've never been in the same room as the guy. But he saw something through my social media that I was behind and shoots me a message and says, hey, not, hey, where's that podcast episode you interviewed me weeks ago? He says, hey, are you okay? And I needed that day when I pulled open my phone. And so I say this because we're in the middle of this mental health awareness stuff. And what does it mean to be aware of mental health issues? Well, part of it is internal. We have to recognize those things within ourselves, but also recognize that maybe the people around us, coworkers, friends, family, acquaintances, and that to be aware of mental health stuff is valuable for us, but also the people around us, right? And so I get this message and I'm like, hey, well, actually I'm not doing too great. You know, the interview is good and I have to do a little bit of editing and this and that, but I have this kind of mental block. I'm really quite struggling emotionally and so on, mentally, and so I'm quite behind. And it gets me down because the podcast is something I truly love, one of the things that does bring me real joy. And so kind of getting in that rut, you know, getting stuck in those grooves in the road and not being able to get out of that. But this little message comes through from Angel. And he goes on to say, hey, well, I'm here to listen. And does all the right things. And we're not like super best friends or anything. We're just acquainted online. But that little thing, he noticed something was up with me, shoots me a message, says, are you okay? I say, not exactly. Here's the situation. And a little exchange that got me unstuck. And so when we say mental health awareness, the next step is, I'm going to make this up on the, I don't know, mental health action. that we need to do things, right? Whether that's, you know, me taking some time for self-care, these things that we do for ourselves, right? Because we're struck. Or is that action that, hey, one of my friends is struggling, I should reach out to them. Or, hey, this family member might need me. Or this person I'm acquainted with may just need to know that, hey, are you doing okay? Because you're somebody that I like and respect, even though we're not super tight. Or something like, I don't know what that looks for each and every one of us. I don't. But in that moment, a few days ago, when I got that message from Angel, really got me unstuck. And took that idea of mental health awareness stuff into a world of action, reality, and some results, which is that, not that it fixed me, but it certainly got me through and propelled me into getting unstuck and providing this interview for you. So all this to say, shout out, legit, to Angel. Good dude. I respected him before, respect him a whole lot more now, and would consider him a friend, right? And so always had respect for him and his content creation. Now I respect him as a person, as a human being, as a brother, as it were. So shout out to my hermano, Angel. So without further ado, with all that said, let's just jump right into the interview. We get into all sorts of stuff. We talk boxing. We talk about his YouTube channel, content creation, and so on. So I enjoyed it, and I hope you do too. All right, y'all. We are continuing the theme of Latino Heritage Month, and I bring to you a Latino content creator, specifically Puerto Rican, Angel David Castro. How you doing, buddy?
Oh, what's going on, AJ?
I'm hanging in there, bud. Thanks for doing this. I am aware of your platform and El Pugilato, but maybe just give a quick intro for the audience.
Yeah, I'm a fan, Puerto Rican kid that grew up, I don't want to say idolizing, but thinking of athletes in general as heroes, superheroes. I still think of them in that way today, to this day. I'm almost 30. And I still think these guys and girls are superheroes. I grew up in Cupe Alto, Puerto Rico. You might have heard of that city before if you were a fan of boxing in the 90s. Some Felix Trinidad cat. Some dude named Felix Trinidad, the most beloved athlete in the island's history. He's from the same borough, from the same hood, let's say, that I grew up in.
Okay.
Well, he's way older than me, so I'm from his neighborhood.
Okay, right.
So I do remember seeing him when he was a young boxer, maybe not up and coming, but his career was still young. I was a kid. I remember just watching him just running for miles in the neighborhood and all that. So from an early age, I admired him and other athletes, but specifically fighters. And to me, I always had that love for fighting and fighters in my heart. Even though I branched off and did other things, you know, we grow up, mm-hmm. I played basketball, tried to go semi-pro, but playing basketball, that was not going to happen. And, you know, eventually, I think the year was 2018. I moved from Puerto Rico to Texas in 2017, late 2017. In 2018, I reached out to a couple of websites to start maybe writing some articles about fighting, thinking of doing my own thing eventually, but eventually it couldn't come soon enough. So I started recording little audio clips here and there about fights or fight cards that were coming or that already passed. And that's how it started. It started in English first. Okay. Angels Combat World.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't look it up. It's horrible. It's so bad. But that's how it started. It started in English first as Angels Combat World. Then eventually I started burning the candle on both ends. Because I had a bunch of projects going on at the same time. I was writing for some people. I was doing Angels Combat World weekly. And I branched off to do a Spanish show called Pilares, Pillars in English, and the same channel. I wanted to do something in Spanish. And then an internet radio page, small. It wasn't too big. I reached out to them and they wanted to do a little something with me, maybe a weekly show about fighting.
Great.
And we were brainstorming about the name here and there, and eventually El Pugilato came to be. That was the name. So El Pugilato started the small little internet radio page called Pegasus Radio Media from Puerto Rico, but I was already here in Texas.
Oh, I see.
So that's the birth of El Pugilato. But I was doing that, plus Angels Combat World, plus Pilates, which was a weekly show too. I was pretty much doing three shows a week.
Wow.
That doesn't fly with the wife and with real life and responsibilities.
Right. Of course.
So I shut everything down at the end of 2019. I shut everything down. Okay. Shut it off, turned off the computer, unplugged everything. And then I think early 2020, before the pandemic really hit, I said, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do El Pugilato from now on. It's going to be my only project. I'm going to give it some shape. I'm going to, give it some color and try to keep getting better. And that's how it started. It picked up steam this year, really, 2021.
I like that there were other iterations of your idea of, I have ideas of fighting and I need to get them out there. That it took a few different modes until you got to your YouTube channel, which is how I stumbled upon you. And again, a Spanish language one that is talking about fight stuff. And somebody that knows what they're talking about, and coming from this admiration, like you said, that these people are my heroes, right? That, and we want more eyes on that, and we want that, to bring eyes and respect to that sport and these sports and these people. And again, it's Latino Heritage Month, and that you were born in Puerto Rico and came at about what age?
It was 4 years ago, so 24, 25.
Oh, okay, cool, cool. In your mid-20s, you come to the USA. And that's another one of the things that I liked, that it was in Spanish, and I like that you bring up the issues of, national identity for Puerto Ricans in the fight game. I do the same thing for Mexicanos, same story. And then also, maybe more closely, the Chicanos, right? The Mexicans that are born over here. Tell me a little bit, though, about being in Puerto Rico versus the USA, just growing up, just life-wise.
Yeah, and I want to put a pin on that subject that you just mentioned about the identity and all that, because I do want to talk about that, because I've talked about it on the channel a million times. And how the hypocrisy of fans and critics of the sport with regards to these athletes that represent their country but they don't live in it. And all of a sudden, they're not from their country. Whatever. You know how people are.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, but that's another subject. But yeah, Puerto Rico. Puerto Rico is pretty similar. And Puerto Rico is a part of the States.
Right.
Whether some people like it, whether I like it, whether whoever likes it or not, that's what it is. It's a territory of the States. It makes it easier to travel. I take my hat off to every single immigrant that comes to the States, whether legally or illegally.
100%.
I don't know what people's opinions are. I don't care. But being a mom or a dad or a husband or a wife or whatever, and doing what a lot of immigrants have to do to come into the States, it's incredible. It takes an incredible amount of fortitude and sacrifice and not being sure of what's going to happen. So all that whole chapter that immigrants have to go through when they come to the States, Puerto Ricans don't have to deal with it. The part of coming into the States, we don't have to deal with it at all. So there's a side of reality of life that Puerto Ricans don't have to deal with.
That's interesting. Yeah.
And that's something that it's not lost on me. I understand it.
Word.
I don't understand it physically because I've never had to go. I've never had to do what immigrants have to do.
Right.
But I do offer my respects to every single immigrant that comes through here to help their family and do what they have to do, to do good for their family and all that.
For sure.
That's something that Puerto Ricans have never had to deal with since 1898.
Understood.
But the island is, the people are beautiful. What makes the island great is the people. We have politicians that are chimpanzees, just like we have here, just like there's idiots in Guatemala, in Peru, you know? That's what they do. That's what they are. But the people are great. The culture is beautiful. Everybody, most people sing, dance every day. There's rhythm to our lives, you know? There's music in every corner, especially if you work in the atmosphere that I work, which is hospitality, restaurants, hotels. There's always a jovial atmosphere to it, no? But unfortunately, the island is going through a financial time that's, if you're a head of household, if you're a husband, you have kids, there's, I don't know how you can do it without working two crazy jobs.
Sure.
Or without a big diploma, which I don't have. I don't care for having either.
Right. So while it is part of the USA, its economics are distinctly different.
Exactly.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. We're not, I don't know what state is the worst financially right now. Maybe Mississippi, sure. Maybe Detroit. I'm not sure, mm-hmm. But we're there. We're there. If we do it side by side, we're pretty low.
Right.
There are some things that make people mad and that I understand. For example, a millionaire, which, I mean, if you're a millionaire, you worked for it. Kudos to you, man or woman. You deserve it. You deserve to get the liberties a millionaire gets because you worked for it. But there are certain laws in Puerto Rico that make Puerto Rico a tax haven, let's say.
Interesting.
Yeah, you can. The Paul brothers, Jake Paul and Logan Paul, they did it. They live in Puerto Rico now.
Right.
It's a little lighter on the tax issue. These guys from the jiu-jitsu community, Danaher, Gordon Ryan, all those people, they moved to Puerto Rico for some time. They also got a little bit of a relief, especially if you... I don't know if they built a gym. I don't think they did. But the Paul brothers are doing their thing. They got a charity going on. So they get a little bit more benefits than the average gringo tourist that goes in there because they're making things happen. No, so
understood. Yeah, yeah.
That's what Puerto Rico is becoming. Puerto Rico is becoming a tax haven or a tax escape plan, I guess. If you're a guy from the States or a girl from the States and you decide to go to Puerto Rico to start a business, you get a bunch of liberties and a bunch of help from Puerto Rico.
Interesting.
But if you're a Puerto Rican guy or girl trying to start a business, good luck.
Wow.
You don't get any help. Right. You get some help for little small businesses, but it's nothing compared to what, let's say, someone from the outside gets.
Right.
So
right.
There are a lot of things going on financially and politically in the island that makes it so hard for a Puerto Rican family to rise, you know, without doing incredible, crazy amounts of sacrifice that you really wouldn't have to make over here, in my opinion.
Cool. Well, shit. Well, we're happy you're here. And in the great state of Texas, my home, right? I'm from El Paso, but you're in the Dallas area from what I understand, right?
Yeah.
Very cool. I saw recently, a couple weeks ago, you posted up on your Instagram, like, hey, like, we're going to take a break because my computer crashed. And then you let me know, like, hey, earlier this week, you said, hey, my MacBook showed up. And so you're back to making videos and stuff and get that all squared away, the tech side of things.
Yeah. While we're recording this, I finally have everything I need to start making videos again. So after the computer arrived, I need a couple. You know, it's a newer version of the MacBook, so it doesn't have the traditional USB ports. So that was a wrench in my plan.
You need to get the little dongle, right? The little thing to attach and switch it to the USB-C to USB, whatever. Yeah.
Exactly. So yeah, I had to wait. I had to wait a couple more days, but as we're recording this, whenever we finish which I don't care how long this takes. This is a cool conversation.
Hell yeah.
After we finish, I'll do a little something for the channel to bring it back.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah, dude. And so got the computer, tech side stuff all figured out, back to making videos. And we heard a little bit about how you got to the YouTubing and content creation. But maybe, like, why YouTube versus, again, the radio, the internet radio or podcasting specifically? And I do admire the YouTube platform, and I have my little YouTube channel with nothing on it except the audio. But I do want to add a video element to at some point. What got you specifically into adding that video element and that kind of content creation? Are you a YouTube fan, like, aside from you doing this stuff, or were there other reasons?
No, the, I'm not a huge fan of YouTube besides, you know, for music or comedy.
Okay.
I follow some creators now because they're colleagues.
Right.
So,
right.
I need to support. But I try to, like the great comedian Ralphie May once said, he said, I don't watch anybody's stand-up set because I don't want to subconsciously copy anything from them.
Right,
you know?
right.
So that I kind of do the same thing. But I, like most of us do, I wanted to be Joe Rogan. You know, we all want to be Joe.
I want that Spotify money, man. Come on.
I want that $100 million.
Yeah, no shit.
we all want to be Joe. He's the podfather, so he's a great role model when it comes to this. At first, I only did long videos, and that's my passion. But when it comes to this, I like conversations. I like inviting people, whether it be fighters, colleagues, trainers, referees, other, I don't know, journalists, ring announcers, whatever it is. I just want to talk to them. I just want to talk to them. And it's the people's privilege that they get to watch this conversation. I am not a journalist. I never wanted to be, and I don't aspire to be a journalist, even though I do write. I do have a website in which I do write, elpugilato.com, cheap plug.
Nice.
But, yeah, I always wanted to do long videos. I always rejected the idea of doing short little 8 to 10 to 12 minute videos, which if you go now to the website, to the YouTube channel, those are the videos that have the most views.
I was going to say, yeah.
Because of the algorithm, you know? So at some point of this crazy journey, I get to meet Dr. Jared Vasquez, the Octagon doctor. Great guy. You should have him on too.
Great.
He has a channel in which he gives the perspective of a ringside physician, because he is. He is a ringside physician.
Yeah. Great.
He's been a ringside physician in Iowa, and he's right now a ringside physician in Florida. So I meet him, and then eventually I meet Eric Alexander, a great content creator from, he's Puerto Rican too, but he lives in the Atlanta, Georgia area. And when I met both of them, through them, I get to meet other colleagues that are great, but those two are the closest ones that I've worked with. And, you know, bouncing ideas or whatnot, eventually they convinced me to do short videos that I despise. To this day, I hate doing 8 to 10 minute videos because that's not what I like to do. That's why I enjoy the live streams. The live episodes I do with the fans, because they can come in. Sometimes I put the link of the stream service I'm using, so the fans can come in the stream, talk about whatever. It feels kind of like a radio show.
Yeah.
And that's really cool. That's the part I like the most. But the bread and butter, the thing that got me monetized, the thing that brings money into the account at the end of the day, are these stupid 8 to 10 minute videos that I have to keep doing. So sometimes, you know, you do things you don't want to do for the benefit of the things that you do want to do.
Right.
So at the end of the day, and those little short videos are worse, are harder to edit than the long ones for some reason. Because, you know, when you're talking to someone, you're having a conversation, you know, it flows. But when you do an 8 to 10 minute video, you got to enhance it with a lot of videos, clips, pictures, or whatever. So the people that are watching it engage, because that those are the things that YouTube measures. No, but to right. back to the question, I never wanted to be a YouTuber. I always wanted to be a podcaster, and just build and feed my family with this platform. That was the plan from the get go, and that's until that happens, I won't be satisfied.
Right.
But we're getting there. We're oh, getting yeah. somewhere.
Oh yeah, you certainly are. Again, and that was, you said the Ralphie May thing, and yeah. I actually do like to go and look and be like, what else are people kind of doing? And one of the things I've stolen from you, and will steal from you, I should say, is that I do want to do a you know, Spanish content. I do want to do stuff in Espanol, like completely.
Yes,
I got to practice a little bit more, but I definitely want to. And I like your 10-minute videos, man. But you're right that the scripting it and making it nice and tight. And
oh it's no, just, I gotta stop you right there. I don't script.
Oh, you don't anything. Do anything, really?
No, dude, I know. I hate. I don't.
You're a
I,
pro,
I,
then, dude. You're a pro. Well, shit.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm a pro. I'm but
you're monetized. You said.
Well, yeah, that's also because through colleagues, I eventually got to participate in big channels. They oh, invited sure. me in live streams and whatnot, and that was the biggest bump.
Okay,
like being a guest on Green Fit's channel. Green Fit's is a channel. It's an MMA fitness kind of channel in Spanish. The host is Oscar Lopez, a Cuban guy living in the States, and that channel is humongous. And you know, through a couple of colleagues, specifically Eric Alexander. Again, I have to thank him. He super good dude, who would love to be here too, I'm sure. Through him, I kind of got to meet these people. And then eventually after, I don't remember if it was after the Charles Oliveira pay-per-view, something like that, I got to be a guest, one of the guests in their live show. And through there, I got a big bump in subscribers. So as much as I don't like watching other people's stuff, collabs are a big, big, big part of growing.
Sure.
So that's, you know, those are two things that go together, you know, collabs, not copying what someone else is doing, but you know, you got to collab, you got to work together.
No. Yeah. And that's part of my move here. Is I wanted to collaborate with you again.
Yeah,
I
think, man, that's for
like,
sure.
That's the kind of person that, and I could see that you were serious about it. I could see your nice little studio you got set up here, you know, like
thank
your
you.
Little backdrop that I'm like, this guy takes it serious. I want, again, mine, I just like to be audio for now, but mm-hmm. I want it to sound crisp. I want it to sound, you know, professional, whatever that means in this podcast mm-hmm. world, right? But but that this is the kind of person I do want to collaborate with and exchange ideas with and then just talk fight stuff, you know? The name, El Pugilato, I love it. It was Angels Combat World back in the day. Mm-hmm. You get it over to El Pugilato. What was maybe the impetus for that specific name and a cool little graphic you got and a nice ring to it and that it's in Spanish, so you kind of – it's implied that the content will be. What about that name?
So I don't know. I don't know how many Hispanic countries use that word, but in Puerto Rico, el pugilato or un pugilato, it's a synonym to struggle. Like I woke up at 5. I had to go to work. I had to take the kids to school. One of the kids got sick. I got back home. Wow, qué pugilato! What okay. a struggle. So that's and also. The root of the word pugilato is fight. If you look right. it up anywhere,
right. pugilism, pugilato, fighting.
Yeah,
right.
pugilism, fighting. So the two things went together because I thought, of course, pugilism, that you know, it's fight. That's what I want to talk about. But also how hard this is. This is not for the weak of heart. This is not for someone that wants to take this as a hobby. This is, if you want to do it right, this is a struggle. And specifically at that time when you're starting off, you get 7 downloads, you get 7 views on a thing you worked on for 8 hours or yes. 9 hours. It's a struggle. You want to flip the table over and destroy the computer and get frustrated.
I understand.
So that's the birth, that's the genesis, let's say,
yeah.
of El Pugilato. Yeah.
No, I dig that, El Pugilato, that there's that double meaning. Mm-hmm. And I always think about that because I like wrestling, you know, and lucha has a similar sentiment, right? That the lucha means struggle as well, right? Mm-hmm. And so I like that these things are, have the dual meanings in different languages and whatnot. Yeah. And so did you always specifically want to have everything in Spanish?
Well, I started in English. And
Okay.
Angels Combat World was in English.
Well, obviously, yeah.
And when I started writing, I started running in English back in the day. Back in the day being like 3 years ago. But I did start in English, but I wanted to see, just get my feet wet in English. But I always knew it had it. It was bound to run its course. There's so many, you know, and I don't want to discourage you or anybody else. But in my case, in my particular case, I didn't see any point in what I was doing because the way I think, the way I speak, my humor, you know, everything is so Hispanic.
For sure.
So even though I do have I have a grasp on the American gringo culture, let's say. Sure. And I understand it and I can flow with it. It's like thinking while you walk, you know, no one thinks when they walk, they just walk.
Right.
Same thing. Like doing this in Spanish, I flow. Sure. I flow a little better. I rant. I feel comfortable. And there are not a lot of big, big mainstream channels that do what I do.
Right.
I'm not a big mainstream channel yet, but I will be. And the goal is to be the biggest, not better than anybody, but being the biggest, doing it the way I want to do it. It sounds really arrogant, but no, you know,
I think that's the only. I mean, if you're going to pick up an endeavor like the ones we're doing, anything kind of creative specifically, why not go 100% and shoot really high? Like,
exactly.
Otherwise, why even bother? You know,
why bother?
Like, and again, I hear you. Like, I was like, oh man, my listenership is dipping. What's happening? What am I doing wrong? And I'm beating myself up and not sleeping over it. And like, and so yeah, I hear you. And again, while I want to do content in Spanish, again, it's inverted for me where I'm slower in Spanish. I'm just a little bit slower, right? And so I'm not as sharp. So I think that's a good impulse. And then also, I noticed there isn't a lot of content like yours, you know, fight stuff specifically in Spanish. There's some out there, but there's not a ton. And whereas the English market is just saturated, for sure.
Yes, And in Spanish, people are very specific. There's boxing channels and MMA channels.
Right.
And basketball channels and whatever. And this is really stupid and philosophical, but I started being me from the get-go, because the moment I start putting more and more hours into this thing, if I'm doing that while also having to prepare extensively and pretend while I do this, I'm gonna stop doing this. I'm gonna burn out,
right?
Because it doesn't. No, I have to do it. My goal has always been talk about fights, of course. Educate yourself about what you're going to talk about. Read, consume all the information about that subject you're going to talk about, for sure. Because if you don't, that would just be irresponsible. But that doesn't mean that you have to be a robot or a sportcaster kind of guy.
Right.
You know, the boring guy you see on TV. My goal has always been talk about fighting as if you were in a barbecue. Talk about fighting as if you were in my couch, just in my living room. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So that's the key, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think the authenticity was one of the things that did come through your channel, you know, and thus I reached out to you again, that you're serious and that there was authenticity and not imitation, right?
Yeah. Humor also. Humor is key. I like to keep things light, even though I talk about serious stuff sometimes, especially when I'm talking about Mauricio Sulaiman and the WBC or the WBA. I'm pretty serious about those things. But specifically in the live streams, I'm I love to laugh.
Good.
And you know, I listen to music, but mostly I listen to comedy albums. Very and cool. Comedy podcasts. So I try to mix those things that I like into the show. So it's taking shape, and I like to keep it light, you know, most of the time.
Good. So let's get into some fight stuff, man. You mentioned Felix Trinidad, of course. And I see Amanda Serrano on your wall here, of course.
There she is.
Yeah. And so tell me about maybe your favorite boxers, or maybe the ones that mean the most to Puerto Ricans. Because, again, sometimes I do have my blinders on, and I'm unabashedly proud to be Mexicano. And so I'm just like, you know that history. But, you know, what about Felix Trinidad and Amanda Serrano? Two of the best to ever do it. Let's just start out there. I know I'm not putting words in your mouth when I say that. And so, but you tell me.
Yeah, in my opinion, to my taste, they're my favorites. Tito, for sure. Felix Trinidad, he's my favorite boxer. And Amanda, she has a special place in my heart because I've had the pleasure of having her on the show.
Tremendous.
And the Amanda Serrano, I'm one of the biggest advocates, one of the biggest Amanda Serrano stans out there.
Yeah.
The people that follow this channel, they know from the get-go, even when I was doing the English channel, I was a huge, huge, huge supporter and a vocal supporter of Amanda Serrano. I'm going to go on a tangent here, but whatever.
Please do. That's the point. Yes.
Yeah. She means a lot. She means a lot to me. She means a lot to me. What she has done, it's incredible. And incredible falls short. She will go down eventually. Right now, she could retire, and she's the greatest Hispanic female fighter, female boxer of all time, for sure. But with what could happen, maybe becoming undisputed at 126, maybe beating Katie Taylor for all the belts at 135, if those things happen, she could go down as the greatest female boxer of all time, bar none. But that's something that's, you know, she has to accomplish all those things. But she holds a special place in my heart. Number one, she's a woman coming from our culture. Women, even when things were super patriarchal, let's say, back in the 30s and 40s, the mom was still the anchor of the house at the end of the day.
Sure.
Moms have the most important people in my life besides my son are all women. My right. grandma, my right. wife, my stepdaughter. The most special people in my life are women. As is the case for most Hispanic people.
Sure.
And seeing the lack of respect and the lack of love that Amanda receives or doesn't receive, let's say, she doesn't receive the respect and love she deserves from the island, from Puerto Rico, was baffling to me.
I did not know that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's shameful to a point. But it all comes back to that thing we were talking about that we didn't get to talk about yet, about the elitist mindset of Hispanics, Hispanic citizens, Hispanic fans.
Right.
When it comes to a fighter that comes from their country or island but doesn't live there, doesn't speak the language.
Right.
But you, therefore, they are not one of us.
Yeah, that's silly.
And that's what's going on with Amanda.
How interesting.
Wow. Yeah, she does not, like, this is the greatest point of her career is this one.
Oh, sure.
It could get better if she does, if she does those things that I mentioned. That could be, earth-shattering in the women's boxing world.
Yeah. Boxer ever. Yeah,
for sure. But I don't see Puerto Rico ever giving her a parade. I don't think I'll ever see that. And Puerto Rico is known for that, for, let's say, receiving their athletes after a great accomplishment with open arms. I don't see that happening. And sadly, I don't think it will ever happen.
Wow.
From not because she doesn't deserve it.
Right.
Because if there is an athlete, if there's a boxer, Puerto Rican boxer, that has been relevant at all after Miguel Cotto's retirement, Puerto Rican boxer, it's only Amanda.
I agree.
No one else matters.
I agree.
Berlanga is too young. Sander is too young. The other ones, Alberto Machado, we saw what happened. Felix Verdejo before his whole legal stuff. They were trying to sell us something he was not. No one matters. But after Miguel Cotto's retirement, no one matters except Amanda. And yet, she does not receive the love that she deserves. And you can't force people to do it, man. You can. I can keep yelling in my channel.
yeah. No, she's so great.
But at the end of the day, that's what it is.
She's so great that her last fight with Mercado, Yamilet Mercado, Mexicana, I was like, this is one of the very, very, very few times I'm going for the Puerto Rican, not the Mexican. Like, legit, that's how serious she is. Because I was like, no, I got to go with Serrano for sure and winning that unanimous decision, of course.
Yeah, she's so good.
She's unbelievable, right? Just a... yeah, just huge. And so, you know, you brought up this interesting thing, and I'm just thinking out loud, like, is that a gendered thing, right? And all the stuff we can say about the patriarchy and machismo and stuff, but that there is a matriarchal element to lots of Hispanic and Latino culture, period. Mm-hmm. Yes. Like abuelas matter, the sisters, you can protect them. All that shit is ingrained in the culture and, you know, but why is she not getting that love? And is it just something as simple as it's that gender line and Puerto Rico doesn't want to accept the woman fighter being on top?
No, because we've had female athletes excel and they receive love. Monica Puig, tennis player, she won a gold medal for Puerto Rico in 2016. Uh-huh. She received an incredible parade coming back home. Jasmine Camacho Quinn, she just won a gold medal in the Olympics for hurdles. Well deserved. She received an incredible parade also. Both women.
Right.
And Adrian, we have a table tennis player who she's, I think, 21 now, but she's been at the top of the game for 5 or 6 years. She's a phenom. She's also received a lot of love from the island. It's not a gender thing. I don't think it's a gender thing. Of course, fighting, it's still going through a process in which, you know, female boxing is, I think right now female boxing is at its best point, but it's still, you know, it's a long way from what it should be. Yeah.
It's the not being Puerto Rican enough thing you were talking about.
Yeah,
then.
That is what it is.
I'm doing air quotes. You can only hear this, people, but I did air quotes. Like, not being Puerto Rican enough, right? Because of the language thing. And it's like, how is that not part of your identity, even if you don't speak the language? It's curious, but you're right. Right.
She grew up in Brooklyn. That's like being Mexican and growing up in El Paso or whatever.
Exactly, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Or Phoenix or Yuma, Arizona, whatever.
Right.
It's hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah, it is.
And that's what it is. The same thing that happened in MMA when it comes to Cain Velasquez and Mexico. Or Andy Ruiz in boxing in Mexico.
Right.
Or Macho Camacho. They did it to Macho, too, back in the 80s and 90s. He wasn't Puerto Rican enough.
It's
we've done it. And when I say we, I mean Puerto Ricans. We've done it to countless other people. We did it to this girl, Jasmine Camacho Quinn, too. But, you know, she won a gold medal, so we had to shut up, right? So Amanda is, without a doubt, the greatest female athlete Puerto Rico has ever had. There's no if, ands, buts,
right,
questions. No. And she's the only relevant boxer for the last 5 years. That I've said that already. But it is the not Puerto Rican enough thing, without a doubt.
Oh, yeah.
Without a doubt. And it's shameful. It's immature.
Yeah.
It's dumb. Specifically because there's more Puerto Ricans living outside of Puerto Rico than in Puerto Rico.
Right. Right.
Like 300% more.
Right. And it's, again, the language thing. Again, I get that one personally, because it's just like, yeah, my Spanish isn't great, but that doesn't make me any less Mexican. Like, you know, listen, like, walk a block in my shoes. You'll feel fucking Mexican.
Yeah. Yeah, from the moment. Like, I'm sure, I don't know how many Mexican kids were in your classes growing up, but I'm sure there weren't a lot.
Well, I grew up in El Paso, so there were.
Yeah, there were a lot.
But now I'm working in Utah as a professor and have very few, you know, Mexicans. And I have other Latinos. I have Colombianos and Peruvians and all sorts of shit, which is cool and stuff. But it's noticeable. It feels different. So I've, you know, there's moments and places you go where you feel super Puerto Rican and I feel super fucking Mexican, right? And then you take your culture with you, right? Like, it doesn't matter if you live in Brooklyn or El Paso or L.A., right?
Listen, and she moved to the States when she was 8 years old, 8 months old.
Right.
She never grew up in the island. I understand. But that girl, from the get-go, from the moment she started fighting, she always has her flag somewhere on her wardrobe. She takes it with her. She does everything. Amanda Serrano, from the get-go, from the moment she started fighting, she always carried her flag, and she still does. She still does to this day, after knowing how Puerto Rico is with her and towards her.
Right.
You know what I mean? So
for sure.
Maybe I'm being a pessimist when I say that Puerto Rico will not give her what she deserves. Hopefully I'm wrong.
Yeah.
Hopefully they embrace her.
Yeah. Hopefully, fingers crossed. Because again, I agree with you on all counts for sure. What about the pseudo rivalry between Puerto Rico and Mexico? Boxing specifically, maybe, you know? Mm-hmm. Always a cool matchup when you have two Latinos squaring off in any capacity, you know. But what do you think about the Puerto Rico and knowing Mexican boxing history as well?
I mean, it shouldn't be a rivalry because, you know, Puerto Rico has a champion in each division. We've had a champion in each division. Mexico has not. You guys still need a cruiserweight champion to have a champion in each division. So when you get to that point, you can call me and talk to me.
but we've produced more world champions. We could go on back and forth. And again, we're having fun here. I love it.
But it's true. Hey, yeah. Mexico is Mexican fighters, and now you see it in MMA too.
Right now, we're seeing it 100% in MMA. Yeah.
Mexico, there's something about Mexico. I don't know exactly what it is, but there's something about Mexico, and specifically Mexican fighters that, I don't know, they're just born elite.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. And so about that, like that, I have my theories and whatnot that why does Mexico produce such great boxers, right? And
why is it?
And so part of it, I think, is that Mexico's a rough spot, and a lot of them come from a very specific spot that's Mexico City, and even more specific, one neighborhood, right, and one training ground, and this is where we produce all the, you know, the big fighters that go on to big things. And so we see something similar happening in MMA with the, like, Russian cats and stuff like this. When you come from, like, rough environments, right, when you come from and even – Puerto Rico, of course, too, right? It's just smaller than Mexico also. That's why there's also less numbers, right? But that when you come from rough areas, facing adversity day in, day out, and that struggle, the lucha, right, creates that whatever fire they have to become good fighters. And then I think secondary is the training and so on and so forth. But I think the environment produces tough people.
I agree.
Even the Brooklyn, environment, and talking about Amanda Serrano. Brooklyn, yeah. You know, even that.
Yeah, Brooklyn is not a picnic.
Right? Boxers from Detroit, right? And so on.
Yeah, I agree. The environment shapes the mind. Strength is the mind, I think, or the will or whatever.
Right.
There's something about tough spots that it grows incredible people. And, you know, like Jamaica, you see a lot of great athletes coming from Jamaica, specifically track and field athletes.
Right.
It's a rough spot, too.
Sure.
And we see, like you said, all the Russian cats in MMA, specifically in Chechnya.
Right.
So, you know, those are not fun spots to grow up in. There's nothing but labor and school and just grow up tough. So yeah, that has a lot to do with it. I agree 100%.
Yeah. Speaking of Mexicans, Saul Canelo Alvarez and Caleb Plant.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think about that presser?
Out of character for Canelo.
I thought so too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Apparently he Plant called him an MF-er, and you know, Canelo speaks English now.
I love hearing Canelo speak English.
Yeah, he's pretty good. Oh, he's pretty good too. Yeah, he's good. You know, so you know, this you know, the accent makes it cooler.
Oh, again, of course, I love it. I love it.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, don't mess the Canelo. Canelo is he's up there with Ronaldo and Conor McGregor. You know, the guys that are winning the most money in of sports.
Course. Yeah,
but he's still that guy. He's still that kid from the picture. I'm sure you've seen that picture where Canelo is posing. He's maybe 7 years old, and he's posing. He has like a little amateur boxing title that he won in a tournament, and he's posting, you know, his boxing stance in a very run down, kind of very dirty, very humble living room.
Right.
I don't know if you've seen that picture.
For sure.
I'll send it to you. Yeah. He's still that kid.
Yeah.
You know, after all the money, after all the pictures, after all the deals, after all the endorsements, he's still that kid. He's still that kid that, you know, that he had to do things that maybe kids shouldn't have done because life was too rough.
Right.
He's still that kid.
Exactly.
He lived a very uncomfortable life. And you can't come at a guy like that with fake bravado.
There you go.
You got to come correct. And
it got real.
It got real fast. Caleb is not that guy. Even though I, as a dad, I have to respect and take my hat off to Mr. Caleb Plant, because if I'm not mistaken, he lost a daughter, and I could never imagine. You know, nothing. Nothing in my mind, in my world, there's nothing sadder than a kid dying,
of course,
in my opinion. So me being a dad and him losing a daughter, I have to, you know, I have to wish him nothing but success, because I don't think I would ever be able to continue living, let alone working, let alone fighting in the biggest stage I can after losing a daughter. No matter how many years have passed. So I have nothing but respect for Caleb Plant. But when it comes to those moments, there are key moments in combat sports. And in these pressers and these photo shoots, you know, they're meant, you know, to garner more attention to whatever's going on.
Sure.
But Canelo, like I said, Canelo's still that guy. You know, there's not a fake bone in his body.
Yeah.
Caleb was pretending, for sure.
Yeah, it was posturing. Caleb,
That's part of the game. That's part of the game. Canelo doesn't he doesn't have a reason to do that.
Yeah, yeah. No, yeah, and it was also impressive. The Canelo has some of the best head movement ever. Again, when he's on, it's just like it looks like Ali the way he moves, and he just dodged that, then whap, 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 you know?
Like That was incredible.
Bing, bing, bing.
Yeah, and that he did not have that. Correct me if I'm wrong. Before the Floyd Mayweather fight,
right?
That was not Canelo's strong suit.
Yeah,
at all.
I agree.
And what he did to Danny Jacobs, what he did to Miguel, what he did, even Triple G, some of those fights,
right?
And what he's doing now, what he did to Billy Joe Saunders, Callum Smith.
Sure.
Canelo. Another level.
He leveled up after Mayweather.
Something else. Yeah, Canelo doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
He doesn't make sense. Unfortunately, that whole clenbuterol thing and the fact that Oscar Valdez also popped, and I think Rey Martinez also popped before.
Yeah.
All from the same camp.
Right.
In my opinion, that takes points away from him.
Yeah, that's the one serious mark. I have the same thing. And then also the was tainted horse meat, whatever bullshit and all that stuff. And
yeah, the beef, tainted beef. At the end of the day, if we ignore that, if we go side by side, win by win, career by career, I think Canelo Alvarez is the greatest Mexican boxer that ever fought.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, again, the conversation is always the Julio Cesar Chavez one, but it's like, that dude was clean. You know, I didn't like a lot of his personality at certain points and whatnot, but yeah, Canelo has cleaned up lately, the past several years.
Yeah, there's nothing, who can, unless he goes to 175 and dares to fight better BF, that's the only guy I see beating him. But besides that, I think he's free to do whatever he wants right now.
Elite of the elite, for sure.
And
so that's a current boxing match out there coming up. Hopefully not jeopardized by that cut. Luckily, it's on the bottom of the eye. But I'm still about 50-50 nervous about that. But we'll see.
Me too.
We'll see. That was the only thing that, like, dang, why did you have to cut him during that exchange? You know, that was the one thing that was like, fuck, you know, because that's the kind of stuff that happens in training that delays a fight for 2 or 3 months, you know, so.
It could happen.
We'll see. But what about the current state of boxing outside of that? And as you know, boxing's really interesting right now, you know, in terms of the options we got from the stuff, the top of the top, like Canelo Alvarez versus Caleb Plant, to the exhibitions, to the Paul brothers, and so on. What about the current state of boxing, man?
I have to say, thankfully, Riddick Bowe pulled out of that fight.
Yeah, I saw that. That was just, yeah, I saw that. I was like, no, what are we doing?
What are we doing here? I retweeted the flyer, and I retweeted Riddick Bowe shadow boxing. I was like, all right. Screw it. Just keep going until one of them dies. Who cares anymore?
Because that's the fear. God.
Yeah.
Dude, I did not like the Evander Holyfield thing, dude. So
I could have. We all saw that coming a mile away.
It made me so sad.
Right?
He's the real deal. What are we doing? You know?
He used to be the real deal.
Oh, well, that's the thing. It's like, and that we took it away because we let him do that, right? And so. Yeah.
We can't do this. We can do exhibitions with these legends if they're covered up, if it's only like four rounds or whatever. But we can put them up there against a younger individual on all the Mexican juice, like Vitor Belfort was.
He's eating all the tainted beef on the planet.
He's shoving all the tainted beef into his mouth.
because you're right, because there's ways to do these things. Like Mike Tyson and Roy Jones was a good event. I was skeptical. I thought, why am I buying this? An interesting event and done tastefully, right? Tastefully without them losing their legacy, losing their prestige, embarrassing themselves, or worse, getting hurt or killed. And so there's a weird spectrum of the what we're allowing and desiring, because I don't know. Yeah, I feel like you. Like, what are we doing until one of these, we pull a stupid move and somebody dies? Like, we've seen that happen in the boxing ring. We know that happens with healthy people.
Yeah, it's going to keep happening until somebody dies. And, I mean, I don't wish that on anybody, but that's what's going to happen, man. Somebody's going to die. Somebody's going to die in the ring. Unfortunately, a lot of people have died in the ring, young people.
Right.
Like Janet Zacarias earlier this year, who horrible. I wish her family nothing but the best.
Yeah, rest in peace.
Stay strong, no?
And hopefully, for sure.
Hopefully, you know, her family can find some sort of comfort in whatever's going on. But that's an example of boxing doing boxing things. You know, promoters are going to promote. Promoters are going to want their fighters to look great. But at the end of the day, the current state of boxing, it worries me to a degree. I need to see Crawford and Errol Spence.
Yes, 100%. Me too.
Yeah, I need Tyson Fury against AJ.
Yep.
And I need boxing cards to not just be built around the main event. We've seen this in Canelo fights.
Right.
It's Canelo versus whoever, and then the undercard is meaningless. Yeah. You know, and all due respect to young up and coming fighters, but you have to take a page out of MMA's book, you know?
Stack that card.
Yeah, stack it. Have a great main event, but also the co-main and the supporting fights in the main card. That's why you have an undercard. The undercard, you know, before the main pay-per-view, have the young guys and girls. That's fine.
Right.
But if I had to name two or three issues that boxing needs to fix, for sure, women's boxing. Stop with the nonsense. They're all adults. 2 3-minute rounds.
3-minute rounds, please. Yes.
They're all adults. Yes. What are we doing here? They're not kids.
Yes.
That.
Huge.
ASAP.
Huge.
Stack the cards, please. And this is more of a combat sports thing in general. Judges don't need to be almost like under the ring looking up. That is the worst place you can be to judge a fight and score a fight.
Yeah.
If those three things happen, we'll be looking good. And also, do more for your fighters that aren't superstars. How do you build superstars? Come on, give me something. Why should I care about this young fighter? Why am I hearing about Ryan Garcia, David Haney, and whoever? If they, you know, if you don't sell them to me like you know?
Right.
Like, who has Devin Haney be before this last fight? This last fight was important. But before that, this last fight against Jorge Linares, Devin Haney's resume was not, it didn't matter.
Right.
For all the press that he was getting.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Sell me fighters that matter.
Right.
Sell me fighters that have done things.
One of the things I thought was good about the Jake Paul and Tyron Woodley fight was that the co-main was great and the stuff, I mean, there was good fights on that card. You know,
yes.
I was like, these guys are putting together better cards than, like, again, these really high profile WBO, WBC championship fights with lackluster undercards. Mm-hmm. I was like, that was something that I was like, hats off. Because mm-hmm. there were good fights in addition to the freak show fight we were signing up to watch, right? Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting, and credit to those promoters. I thought that was a good move.
Yeah, I agree. They bring eyes to the sport, the Paul brothers. And even though at first I hated the whole circus they were bringing,
yeah.
Right now Jake Paul has a place in my heart. With putting Amanda Serrano and Jamileth Mercado as the co-main event.
Same.
Now working with Amanda Serrano, they're working on the same team now.
Wow.
And now they're trying to make that Katie Taylor fight happen. So, you know, he's doing things for the sport that deserve respect and deserve being acknowledged.
Right, I agree. He got fast-tracked because of his celebridom and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. But, like, and also, like, I respect, I don't like the guy, but I'm like, he's putting in the work. He's mm-hmm. putting in the work. Like, mm-hmm. he's a big boy. He can mm-hmm. punch. Like,
yeah, he can hit.
You know, I'm like, I'm kind of starting to change my tune and stuff. And I'm like, it's good because of, again, that undercard. A lot of people got eyes on them, you know, including Amanda Serrano and Yamileth Mercado, which mm-hmm. I felt was like, that's dope. Women
super
as
dope.
A co-main. Puerto mm-hmm. Rican, Mexican, this is great. This is good.
Perfect.
Shit. And I was like, this is interesting. And I mm-hmm. have to give credit where credit's due. So he's not a complete joke. You know, it's like, I want to dismiss him. I want to dismiss him, but I can't. I fucking can't. And it bugs me. But, you know, so I agree with you there. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
So when did you get into MMA? Because if you're like me, you grew up in a household where boxing was key, right? That's part of the stuff that we're growing mm-hmm. up with mm-hmm. and stuff culturally. But when did that MMA bug start for you?
The kickboxing bug bit me first.
Oh, interesting.
Because of ESPN Classic. The old K1 fights used to come on. And I remember Ernesto Hoost. I remember, Michael McDonald back in the day, of course, Krokop.
Right.
And for some reason, I got hooked into watching that. That was really good. And Sammy Schild, all those guys that used to be the legends of K1 kickboxing. So through there, somehow some way, I stumble upon around the time he debuted in the UFC, Anderson Silva.
Okay.
And that was it. That was it. That was the end of that.
He's like Neo Anderson. In the Matrix, man. He was something
yeah,
else.
That's it.
Prime Silva is the best in the world. Yeah.
That's it. To me, he'll always be the greatest, but that's one of those things that, you know, I'm not being totally objective when I
yeah,
when
has
I
say it. Yeah, a special place in your heart, yeah.
Yeah, that's the first love, for sure. Anderson is incredible. And what he did in his prime, it can't be compared to anybody else. It's just like Roy Jones in boxing. Special.
Oh, man, when Roy Jones was the king, remember that?
Yeah, I must have forgot.
Fuck, man, it was so good. Yeah,
what he did to James Toney in his prime, he whooped James Toney with style and elegance and counter punching and just being bullied. That was the breakthrough performance, in my opinion.
Yeah, one was
that was crazy.
Tarver, right? When
well, Tarver knocked him out,
and then who said it on commentary? He's like, "We have witnessed the death of a king," like super dramatic and shit. And
that was what it was.
It literally was. It's like losing our shit. Yeah, I'll never forget that call. Yeah,
it was crazy if you remember, because that was their second fight. Like the first one was after Roy Jones came back from winning the heavyweight title
from Ruiz.
He got really heavy and whatnot. And then he came back down to light heavyweight, ignoring cruiserweight for some reason, which was a super easy division for him.
Right.
He eventually became a champion in cruiserweight when he was in his 40s. But that's not the point. He goes from heavyweight back to light heavyweight, which is a good 30 pounds. And that first Tarver fight, he did not look good. But he squeaked by.
Right.
And then that, if you remember the second fight, when the ref has them face to face and he asked them, anybody has any questions? And Tarver says, "You got any excuses tonight, Roy?" And then he knocks him out.
Yeah. Flatline.
Knocks him out. Yeah. Out. Yeah. Not even like a body punch, knocks him down. He knocks him out. Mm-hmm. Out.
Yeah. God, man. Yeah, I remember that one. I remember that one. Shit, dude.
Oh, sad. It's sad as much as it is impressive.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. Tarver's great in his own right. 100%. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so Anderson Silva, elite of the elite, gets mm-hmm. you into MMA hooked. Who else do you like?
Nobody else. Just Anderson.
You're like, just okay, Anderson.
Yeah, fuck them all. I know. I do have. I have to appreciate. Of course, Amanda Nunes. She's there.
I see her on the wall there. She's great. Head kicking Holocaust into oblivion. Yes.
Into, well, not into oblivion, but into, you know, the land of the unconscious. Because Holly can still mess people up.
She's great. Yeah, I like her a lot.
She's really good. Amanda Nunes is up there too for me. But that, I got hooked with Anderson. Of course, you got to like John Jones. From that generation, you know, the generation, like the introduction to John Jones and then that generation before it, I loved Lyoto Machida for sure.
The Dragon, yes, sir.
The Dragon, yeah. So many, man. No, but Anderson, Lyoto, and now Amanda Nunes, Johnny Bones Jones, I like him.
No, Amanda Nunes, Brazilian, just two division champ, super dominant. Who are they going to put in front of her right now? Like, it's, yeah, she's just super dominant. And so UFC 266.
Yeah.
UFC 266. What are you thinking about that one? You're going to watch it? You got to, right?
I have to. Okay, so if you're a sick individual like I am, you have to.
What do you got as far as that card, man? It's a stacked-ass card, man. The main card, you know, alone. Who do you got in some of these fights, man?
Well, the main event is really interesting. I got Brian. I have Brian Ortega winning by whatever means necessary. Yeah. I think he's that guy. I think he can get it done. But there's a couple of fights here that are really interesting. Alexander Volkanovski, I guess Brian Ortega being the main event, of course, for the featherweight title. I got to go with Brian. The co-main, Valentina Shevchenko against Lauren Murphy. It should be an easy victory for Valentina.
I think so.
Valentina's just, she's out of this world right now.
Yeah, good for Lauren Murphy for being in line and everything like that. But I think it's I think it's
Valentina. It's academic.
I think it's 100%. I agree with you.
Yeah. Robbie Lawler against Nick Diaz. Unfortunately, as much as I love Nick, and we all do, we want to see him do his thing, but you can't be away from the game for 6 years.
It's crazy.
You just can't. Even though you're fighting Robbie, he's the perfect opponent for you to come back against. But at the end of the day, Robbie has been active.
Yeah.
He's been losing, but he's been active.
I'm worried Nick won't be able to pull the trigger. That's my thing. That he's ring rust, octagon rust is a real thing, you know. 5-6 years is ridiculously long to not be in the ring. And so is he going to fight? Is he going to scrap? I believe so, but I just don't think he's going to be able to pull the trigger in the way he used to. He's not going to be the Nick Diaz that beat BJ Penn, you know?
Wow, what a performance. You remember that fight?
Again, Nick Diaz, I watched a bunch of his fights again just to be like, man, this guy was an animal. And Robbie Lawler.
He still is.
And it's just like, but Robbie Lawler is I think he's just going to be able to pull the trigger quicker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's about how real can sparring get? Not a lot.
No, yeah.
You know, it can get pretty real, but, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same. So, unfortunately, I don't think Nick, I don't think he's going to get knocked out. He could, but, you know, I think it's going to be a decision.
Oh,
for Robbie.
So? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Interesting fight here. It's even a prelim. Marlon Moraes against Merab Dvalishvili.
Oh, Moraes is great.
This could steal the whole night, this fight. Yeah. If Marlon comes correct, this is going to be interesting. The whole card is just crazy. You got Curtis Blaydes against Jairzinho Rozenstruik. Dude.
Again, just the biggest of the big giants. Just again, heavyweights are, and again, those particular heavyweights. It's, you know, the explosivity, the explosiveness of heavyweight UFC fights is not the same as the explosiveness of heavyweights in boxing. You know,
I agree.
And so that's one of those things where it's like I've never been a fan of heavyweights. Always liked smaller fighters and stuff, and those divisions. But goddamn, I'm looking forward to the bombs thrown in that one for sure. I kind of got to go with Curtis Blaydes though.
If he does the right thing. But look, what happened against Derek Lewis? You know, Derek Lewis is not an elite wrestler at all, and Curtis Blaydes is an elite wrestler. And if Derek Lewis found a way to neutralize his wrestling, what is Jairzinho going to do?
Fair.
You know?
Yeah. That's my big thing is that coming back from that knockout is like, okay, well, that's the big question, I think, with Curtis Blaydes.
Yeah, he's been knocked out before. He fought Ngannou twice, so he knows what knockouts are. You know, everybody that fights Ngannou knows that. So I don't know. I'm going with Jairzinho.
Cool.
Let's see. Dan Hooker. What was the story with Dan Hooker? I couldn't understand it. What happened with – did he take this fight last minute or what? What was it?
I didn't know he was on the card till a day or two ago. Yeah, I don't know because it's curious also that – partly that he's on the prelims because I don't know where he's ranked and stuff.
Yeah, he's number 8. Well,
oh, okay.
No, he's in the top 10 in the UFC at 155.
Yeah.
I want to know what happened. He fought against Michael Chandler and lost on Michael Chandler's debut.
Yes, of course.
So, okay, apparently this fight was made last minute.
It was, huh?
Yeah.
Today?
Not today, but this past week.
This week, yeah.
So Dan Hooker had visa problems with the whole lockdown.
That's what it was, yes.
Yeah, and the fight was scratched, but then it was back on track.
Okay.
Wow, that was crazy.
But yeah, man, I like your picks. And then we also got Roxanne Modafferi, again, she's just one of the pioneers of women's MMA. Mm-hmm. And stuff. Just mm-hmm. a cool chick. I just think she's just cool, nerdy, and the cosplaying and stuff like that. And then, you know, she's an important figure. So I always like when she gets a good gig and can make some money on a UFC card.
I agree. Yes, she deserves it.
And Jessica Andrade, with Cynthia Calvillo.
Cynthia Calvillo. This is also a barn burner.
That's going to be a scrap.
This is the first fight of the main card. I like it. I like everything Andrade about it
a lot. She's just again, with the exception of Valentina taking her down at will and stuff like that, and she's really good grappler. You know, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. I like her style. I like her stature. I like the way she fights. I like that she's scrappy. You know.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I like it a lot too. Yeah, she's good. She's good. But, I don't know. This pay-per-view is something else.
No, it's super stacked. I like when we get like every fight's gonna. You have to watch every fight. You know, not mm-hmm. I'm gonna tune into the last two or whatever. Like, no, you gotta watch all these.
You gotta watch the whole thing. Worth.
Yeah. So, talked about a number of things, but what would you maybe say to people wanting to become content creators like yourself or like myself, and maybe specifically Latinos, Hispanics, you know, that mm-hmm. trying to get our shit out there? What might you say to the young people out there trying to get into it?
This is going to sound so corny, but yeah. You have to be yourself.
Cool.
Like I said earlier, you have to, you're going to dedicate so much time to do this. You're going to, especially if you don't have kids and a family, I do. So right. I have to be smarter and more strategic about it, or sleep less, which yeah, is yeah. pretty much what that means, sleep less. But at the end of the day, you have to be yourself. You have to do this. You have to do this at as close to who you are as you can. Or you know, if you're going to do something that takes you out of your comfort zone, you have to become comfortable with it, because you can't do this for years trying to pretend and trying to do something you don't like to do.
Right.
That's why I don't write anything. I write bullet points maybe.
Okay.
If I have a guest and I need to, you know, talk to them and talk about their career. But it is not my style to have a script and right. to have a whole written down thing that I have to with this time marker and this time stamp, and I have to say this here because that picture goes there. No, I'll figure it out.
Right.
You know, I'll figure it out. But I want to talk about this subject the way I would talk about it if you were here with me hanging out.
Yeah.
So be as close to who you really are when you're doing this. You're going to make mistakes from the get-go.
Yeah.
That's something you cannot escape. You're going to screw up. You're going to mess up audio. You're going to mess up video.
Yeah.
You're going to mess up uploading things. You're going to upload things that take 3-4 hours to upload or whatever. That struggle comes with it. Save money. There's nothing more expensive than tech things.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm in the hole with the podcast so far. I got to make money at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Buying yeah. the equipment's not cheap.
Yep. Donate plasma, go do Uber.
Right.
Do what you need to do, but you need to make some side scratch to make this thing happen.
Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah. Yeah. I think, you know, the last thing has to be, you have to collab. You have to collaborate. You have to work with other colleagues. You can't, there's no Joe Rogan without Brian Redman. There's no Tom Segura without Joe Rogan initially.
Right.
There's no Joey Diaz
right.
without Joe shining a light on him. There's no Joe Rogan without Opie and Anthony, that radio show.
Right, of course.
So you have to collab. You have to find a way to work with other people that do the same thing or similar than what you do.
Right. Yeah, that was part of the reason I reached out to you again, that like we're speaking, you know, to some of the same people, right, and talking about the same things. And we each have audiences that don't know about each other, right? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, well, why not, you know, collaborate and grow, you know, from what's now a professional relationship, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, yeah, I agree with all three of those pieces of advice. Yeah, the money thing, yeah, that like, you know, you can do it on a shoestring budget or no budget. You could do it from your phone if you wanted to. Everybody yeah. has a phone that could do it.
Mm-hmm.
But what's going to put you a cut above the rest, and how do you do that? And part of it is polishing up a little this and that. And mm-hmm. the easiest way is to throw money at it. Get a good microphone. Get a good mixer. All these kinds of things. Get that camera. Set up your backdrop. Put a corner in your office that's your little studio. Whatever those kinds of mm-hmm. things are, that it does take a little bit of sacrifice money-wise.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a reality of it. You know, and it's honest. It can get expensive, but there's way more expensive things you could get into as well. So, like, you know, I think it's a, you know, you got to figure out what is your budget? What is doable? You know, do I have a steady gig making a good salary, or am I part-time working and doing side hustles to buy the microphone and so on? And that's a reality, you know? That also that like being patient with yourself and that knowing you're going to screw up. Dude, I listened to one of my second podcast. Dude, I was not, again, it just sounds, I'm like, dude, I'm so much better at this now. And so I look back at it and almost cringe. But then I'm like, I've come a long way just since January, you know, and hearing the quality and getting feedback. I remember like episode 7 or 8, a friend texted me and said, hey, I listened to your latest episode of the podcast and like you really got it professionally sounding now. And I was like, well, shit, cool. That was the whole point, you know. And so you reach certain benchmarks and people can hear the difference and see the difference, right? So yeah, good advice.
Yeah. You're gonna make mistakes. It doesn't matter who or when or what.
Dude, there's a learning curve to this shit, dude. And
there's a learning curve for sure. There's a learning curve, and it's tough. This is not easy. Some people make it look really easy. It's not.
Yeah. When you see the really successful YouTube channels or podcasters, and they're on several podcasts and co-hosting here, hosting here, and they're just real busy, and you start thinking about the time it must take, you're like, this is a full-time job or more once you're at that level. Because, mm-hmm. again, I do this stuff once a week, and shit, dude, it's hard. I don't know why mm-hmm. I decided to do that. Just audio, turning this around once a week is a lot of time. It mm-hmm. takes my whole Sunday. It takes my whole mm-hmm. Sunday, you know, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
So I hear you.
Yeah, it does.
And again, it's, that video element, I know you have a couple more things that you got to check off and more tech things and all that stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, the video is harder, in my opinion.
No, sure. It's another element.
Getting the whole video, and not even the quality of it, because I know it's pretty standard, but adding photos, video, you know, syncing up the audio, trying to, because I don't have a professional camera, because right. those things are, I don't even know what word to use. Yeah. It's the amount of money you have to pay for a high end camera for a YouTube channel or a podcast.
Yeah,
it's preposterous.
And the lighting,
it's a kidney, yeah. pretty much, yeah. or a foot.
Right.
Yeah. Thankfully, some of the things that I got here, they were gifts, or you know, the whole setup here, like the lights were a gift for Father's Day last year. So I've been able to do my little thing here and there. But thanks to my wife, you know, as much as she hates all the time that I spend doing this, she's been super supportive.
Badass.
And she's been awesome.
Shout out. Very cool.
Shout out to the boss lady.
Awesome. So this is the Writers and Fighters podcast. Clearly you're in the fight world, interested in fight stuff, promoting fight stuff and all that. Do you have any writing interest though?
I write articles. That's how I started.
Yeah, that's great.
Writing articles. And I opened up El Pugilato website, elpugilato.com, recently, last month. And I'm trying to get I'm trying to be as responsible as I can and diligent as I can, and writing at least an article per week.
Nice.
I'm not there yet, but I will be.
Oh, yeah.
So
that's good.
And it's freeing, you know, writing a couple of paragraphs here and there, 8 or 7, 8 paragraphs, whatever. It's cool. It's something else that making a video or recording a podcast doesn't give you.
Right.
There's something about writing, and of course, that's your lane. You are a legit writer.
A little bit. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you, it. Somebody said it. Record. I just want to hit record. Good. I got that on the record. Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's make it a bite. Yeah. Make it a sound bite. No, for sure. You're a legit writer. Big things. You'll do big things in the writing world. I'm sure you'll make a living being a writer sooner rather than later. You got it. You'll be fine. But you know, I can't compare, you know, what I write to what you would write. You know what I mean? It's something else. So it's more of, you know, it's more of a blog article kind of thing. But it's different than what recording this gives me. It's a different feeling.
Sure.
It's a different approach.
Right.
It's a different set of glasses, let's say. Right. It's a different thing.
No, 100%. And when I think about the podcast and getting my ideas out here and, you know, not just the interviews, but like the little front end where I kind of do recaps of fights or whatever, little things I do like that, I'm like, these could be like a weekly column in a newspaper, magazine, website. I was like, but I've done that. I was like, I've done versions of that, you know? Mm-hmm. And so wanting to use my voice, because I write so much, I was like, I just don't want to write these things. I'd rather talk them out now and stuff, you know, rather than interview you and write up a cool little thing and put it on my website. I was like, let's just record it. And
it's
different modes. It's certainly different modes. And it allows me to, again, I write about fight stuff in the kind of academic world. But this lets me really just talk to more people, right? And so even things like blogs and fight recaps and people that have their writing out there, you know, through their own websites or now there's like Substack and all these other mm-hmm, places, mm-hmm. Medium.com, all these places to put your writing, like that's just a good thing to keep you well-rounded. You know, I still have that somewhere else, but I'm grinding into this because it's just a good creative outlet for me, you know, and like, just hit up writers I like. I say, hey, I like your book. Come talk about it, you know. And so,
yeah.
But yeah, I like that you got the website and you're going to be putting content up there. That because there's times I need to scroll through reading stuff from like wherever, and sometimes I'm in the mode to hear a podcast, and other times I'm in the mode to watch a YouTube video. Mm-hmm. And you want to have different avenues to get things back to your brand, which I think is smart. I think that's
exactly.
A smart move. There you go.
Exactly. Yeah, create traffic.
Yeah, just keep driving it back to El Pugilato, right? Keep driving stuff back to writers and fighters, you know?
Exactly. That's what it's all about. If not, then we're wasting our time.
Right.
Exactly. And we don't want to do that.
Speaking of the brand and all that stuff, man, I want people to keep up with you. Again, I'm a fan of your content. How do people keep up with you in terms of social media, website, and so on?
Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, El Pugilato. ELPUGILATO. If you're not a Spanish speaking person, we don't discriminate. If you are a Spanish speaking person, you know how to write it. Yeah. El Pugilato and ElPugilato.com. I upload all the links to my different things that I'm doing on the website. I also have a lot of merch
on
the website. So
tell me about that shirt. I'm looking at your shirt. It's like a baseball, one of the baseball kind of style shirts. What does it say for the audience there?
It says, existen dos opiniones, la mía y la incorrecta, which means there's only two opinions, mine and the wrong one. that's my most engaging content on the channel. It's me messing with the subscribers. Me being mean to them and me, especially the ones that are that don't agree with what I'm trying to say. And I take disagreeing is fine, but a lot of them disagree in a very disrespectful way, and they're my most favorite people because I get to destroy them live on the channel. So I have a bunch of merch. Right now I'm working on an illustrator, a cartoon artist working on a cool little design so that I'm gonna make on all the merch that I put up. All the merch that I have on the website, they're mostly apparel, like hoodies,
hell yeah,
t-shirts, long sleeve, short sleeve, whatever. And there's a lot of designs. Some just have the logo Others have other catchphrases like El combate es vida, combat is life.
Hell yeah.
And all that good stuff. So yeah, check it out, people. Go to elpugilato.com. Check out the merch that I have. Check out the articles, the links to the podcast where you can catch the audio versions. The short little videos, of course, they're on YouTube. But the long episodes, they're on both platforms. They're on audio and on video.
Great.
So it's fun. It's a fun thing to do. And we're all growing. I'm getting better at what I do. You're getting better at what you do. And that brings more people. And that's the point.
Hell yeah, man. So we will keep that going and drive traffic over to your social media and to the website. People can consume your content in a number of ways. And so we'll make sure to get people over there, man.
Yes, sir.
Hey, dude, I appreciated this. Let's do it again. Let's figure out ways to work together. I'm in your corner, man.
I'm in yours, man. That's however many times you want to have me here, I'll never say no unless, you know, I have a emergency or I'm hanging out with my kid.
Yeah. Hell yeah. Very cool, man. Very cool. All right, buddy. We'll be like that, okay?
Thank you, brother. Thank you so much. Take care.
All right, y'all. Thanks for listening to that interview with Angel David Castro. His YouTube channel is El Pugilato. Make sure you go over there and you subscribe. El Pugilato on YouTube. Angel is also on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. If you type in El Pugilato, it'll come up. And I think you guys should support and buy some merch. Buy some merch over at elpugilato.com. He's also going to add articles and so on. It's going to be another way to keep up with Angel and all the work he's doing. I want to thank Angel once again, not just for putting out good content, not just for the interview, but for also being a friend and reaching out when I needed it. Very cool. You already had my respect and you earned even more. Thank you, sir. As far as the rest of y'all, make sure you follow Writers and Fighters all over social media, writersandfighters.com. Make sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcast app because I have 3 episodes ready to go. I got to slice a few things together and then put them online. You will get the alert if you are subscribed, so follow us on your favorite podcast app. Aside from that, be good, be safe, take care of each other, and don't take no shit from anybody. We'll talk next week. Peace.